As we walk this journey called life, we seek to find those things that bring joy to our existence. We want to embrace love, desire, and passion through healthy human connections. We want and need to discover meaning to the steps we take daily. The challenges of breaking barriers stir up our spirit as we prove our individual importance. The value of life is precious as we assist others to discover their way. The legacy of our being is found in the donations we make in those outside of ourselves. Success in this journey takes focus and commitment to winning. The victory is in not allowing fractured beliefs of the masses to impact the rules we have made work for ourselves. This is James T. Deshaies, the host of Thoughts, Love, and Reflection. We come to you 7 days a week, Monday through Friday at 6 p.m., Saturday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, and Sunday at 8:30 Eastern Time. We have a platform for your voice to be heard loud and clear and unfiltered. It is time that we speak for ourselves so that others completely understand the direction we want our country to go in. No longer can we sit on the sidelines and allow others to select our direction. It is time for people of color to use the internet to make sure their voices are heard beyond a couple of streets. Our thoughts and needs and desires need to be heard around the world. And Thoughts, Love, and Reflection is that platform that you can be assured that your thoughts and feelings will be respected and heard without challenge. It is time for us to come together and make sure that we're not left behind. This is your host, James T. Deshaies, looking forward to have you call in to the show at 657-383-0309. 7 days a week, we want to be heard loud and clear.
USI never had it so good. 101.1 radio, the best R&B and hip hop music. The Quiet Storm every Friday and Saturday. Talk radio with the best host in the business. Sports talk radio every weekend night with Princess Cooper. Never had it so good radio now on 101.1, and it's 24/7, the world's best radio station.
In this day and time, stereotypes are the false descriptions for all of humanity. James T. Deshaies is the author of two great poetry books that attempt to describe life from a male perspective. It has been a common belief that men are unable to put into words their deepest feelings and spend most of their time focused on the surface of what life means. Thoughts, Love, and Reflections, and Passion, Desire, and Contemplation take you on a journey that has very few travelers. Mr. Deshaies has opened his heart and spirit up in ways that few have ever experienced. The depth of his poetry will have you reading his books and poems over and over again. You will find yourself using his passages to describe your own feelings to your family and friends. It is now time to put aside your thoughts and feelings related to the depth of men's thoughts and delve deeply into the words of James T. Deshaies. Once again, he will put an end to your thoughts that men can't translate their heartfelt spirit into words. Both of these books will allow you to find comfort in the reality of the heart of men. You will spend hours trying to embrace the way men want to love and display their passion to the women they love. Don't be fooled by those books that create love through words of lust, vulgarity, and unhealthy displays of sexual activities. You will discover the types of words that will allow you to rejoice in the future of what love truly means to men. Your book clubs and families will be able to discuss these words without fear. No one will have to leave the room. Both of these books can be purchased at jamestdeshaies2.com and lulu.com. Feel free to reach out to the author at tlreflectionsjtd@gmail.com.
You know I love music, and every time I hear something hot, it makes me want to move. It makes me want to have fun, but it's something about this joint right here. This joint right here, it makes me want to
let it go. Can't let this thing called love get away from you. Feel free right now, go do what you want to do. Can't let nobody take it away from you, from me, from we. No time for moping around, are you kidding? And no time for negative vibes, cause I'm winning. It's been a long week, I put in my heart in. Gonna live my life, feel the road to get it right. So I like what I see when I'm looking at me, when I'm walking past the mirror. Don't stress through the night at a time in my life, ain't worried about if you feel it. Got my head on straight, I got my vibe right, I ain't gonna let you kill it.
This is James T. Deshay, the host of Thought, Love, and Reflection, brought to you by Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network. It is so nice, as always, to be here with you, to be given this opportunity to talk to you about the things that impact our lives now and in the future. You know, we're never, ever surprised by the news that we hear. And constantly there seems to be things that takes us back. Even though we're not surprised, we shake our heads and wonder, you know, what can we do to save ourselves from what seems to be an evil direction? And how do we get people to live their lives in a normal fashion of what used to be what we thought was normal? It used to be that you thought that a mother loving their children was normal, and a mother loving their children beyond her love of a man was normal. But recently we had a situation which I believe is common to the point that it's not the only story of its kind, where a mother, in fact, inflicted harm on her children because of her boyfriend she felt was unfaithful. And so we just want to talk today about how do we reinstill the values of motherhood into single mothers to the point that they understand that their children are their futures and that they should not be looking to inflict pain on their children in order to get back at a man that they think is unfaithful to them. And should this child, a young lady, should have been able to reach out to her mother or someone in her family to share what her hardship was before she inflicted this evilness on her son? And we just want to talk about it today because it seems to be something that is more and more commonplace where African Americans are and being involved in these horrific crimes where they are hurting their children for whatever reason. Why would you want to inflict significant pain or damage to your child? How are you doing this evening, Cheryl?
I'm doing great, Cheryl? I'm here. Can you hear me?
I can hear you now. I'm doing fine. Cheryl,
okay.
Were you able to see those videos?
I saw the video with the young lady who suffocated the baby boy, and the girl was still living. And, you know, actually, my daughter-in-law is dealing with her first cousin situation. And when I say similar, she's had a baby for somebody that she wasn't really, like, dating at the time. She dated him years and years before. They hooked up. She got pregnant. He was married at that time, and has a girlfriend. But how about this baby mama is still jealous? And when I say that is that she's leading a life that's reckless and dangerous. She says she loves her child, but she don't buckle her up safe. You know, she don't strap her up. My daughter-in-law has brought to her attention that her straps are not on there secure. She don't buckle up, snap it between the legs. She's doing so many reckless things, and she's more concerned with him and his girlfriend than with her daughter. I mean, she leaves her daughter and tell him to pick her up, and if he don't pick her up, it's like she don't check. I mean, she's more concerned with him, you know, and I just can't understand that this child is going to be without her mother because of such a reckless life she's leading, and then she's sleeping with other guys to get back with him, and he don't even care. And or either she's going to be gone, going to be with the father, who she is every single day. I mean, I'm texting my daughter-in-law right now about this situation. I mean, this is a everyday occurrence. And you would think when they get, and this girl is, I know she's at least 30. And I mean, is that if you, it's okay if it was just you, but you are putting this baby in arm's way. I mean, she's 2 years old. Car accident, she's gone. I mean, she's being left after school, the daycare calling. I mean, she is more concerned with him than she is. So what it is these women are having children for these men in hopes of keeping them. But really, it just pushes them farther away because they don't want to be tied down and not realizing that you are only just a one-night stand. Or I can come to you because I know your heart is with me and I can get what I want at the time and then do whatever I want to do, too. I mean, this is just totally emotional unstable.
And there used to be a time when people would say there's nothing like a mother's love. And you knew that when a mother had taken a child for 9 months, and that mother, even when women wanted to give their children away, a lot of them found that they couldn't give them away after they had spent all that time getting them prepared for birth. And so now you wonder, why in the world do we have so many women out there who will put their children at the mercy of the world because they're chasing these young men? And like you said, these men aren't being faithful to them, but yet they, like in this particular case, this girl, she was just so incensed that this boy was not paying her any attention, that she incriminated herself, telling people what she was going to do to her children, and ultimately did to her child. And so, you know, you, instead of turning your back on this man and loving your children, or having your children be the focus of your attention, we just see another a wave of evil being created in our society.
Well, you know, they are still children in their mind and their heart. And they're looking for love. They're looking to be loved. And because they haven't had it, they can't give it to their children. You know, we expect them to know, but they really don't. I mean, they don't have a clue. And all she's thinking about is getting this guy's attention. Why aren't you loving me? Why are you doing what you're doing to me? Can't you tell I love you? I didn't have these children for you. So she's looking for love. She wants to be loved. And meanwhile, she don't know how to love them, especially, you know, if she hasn't had it. Now, sometimes, and a lot of times, we have, what we, you know, mother instinct. But she don't have that mother instinct.
And it's clear that, you know, when you can inflict harm on something you birthed, you know, Cheryl, I could never know what that's like. But certainly you can. And it can't be normal for a mother, just like you said, she must not have the motherly instinct, but it can't be normal for a child that you carry for 9 months for you not to care enough about their welfare just because you're being forsaken by some man.
Well, you know, just like I said, again, there's that disconnection. She don't, you know how to go about doing it. She's looking for love. And in looking for love, she's not caring about the children and giving them the love that they need. You know, to her, she may be dressing them up cute, playing with them, doing those things. And sometimes we expect capable of giving, or they don't know how to give it. And in this case, with her doing what she did to her child, I mean, she had plenty of time to think about it. Her agenda was to get back at him. So you can clearly see that she didn't have that motherly instinct, a motherly love that most mothers have for their children. She's looking for this man to love her. And she was trying to get his attention, to get him to stop whatever he was doing. And that was the reason why she was texting him, you know, throughout the whole ordeal. And, I mean, he clearly showed that, you know, he wasn't caring nothing about what she was saying. And, I mean, I don't know where his love was at, because he waited until, I guess, it was all over with to call 911. I mean,
well, actually he didn't. And I don't remember exactly how the 911 got called, but I do know the last thing I've heard is that he is now being arrested child neglect, because they felt as though she was sending him texts and telling him what they were going to be doing, she was going to be doing, and he did nothing to intervene. And so they have now charged him with child neglect. And it's just sad when you look at that little boy. There are so many people who would have loved to raise that little boy and given him the love that he deserved, for him to have the fate of being killed and smothered by his mother because of her jealousy of this man. And you wonder, you know, where can we teach humanity to these women who find themselves in this kind of situation?
Well, you know, and again with this cousin, you know, I just keep telling her that she clearly needs counseling, because she's not in reality. I mean, and that's the whole thing. And what incriminated him is probably every time she sent a text, it probably showed that he read it. And he didn't read it, then he could easily have said, well, I didn't know. I mean, I didn't look at my phone. I didn't see no text messages. So that probably was the incriminating evidence, was the fact that it showed text after text, it showed red. And,
right,
you know, clearly can see he didn't care either. Now, I don't know, you know, what they were thinking about. Or, I mean, he didn't think, you know, beyond the text messages and the repercussions of their acts, because he played a role in it as well. Although she did the act, just like you said, child neglect. And, I mean, after the first text messages, he could have stopped her and said, you know, I'm coming over. I'll be over there right now. I'm on my way. Please stop. I mean, you would have done whatever it took, knowing that, and probably, you know, the guy would say, she's crazy. She's losing her mind. Let me go get my children.
Exactly. I mean, because those are your, you know, understandably, you don't have any power or role to play while the female is pregnant. But once she's had those children are as much yours as they are hers. And certainly a normal man, I would think a normal man, wouldn't want his offspring to be mistreated if he's any kind of man. But we seem to be living in an era where men are having babies or producing babies, but not caring a whole lot about them and their upbringing.
Yeah, and it's so sad because some people, and this is, you know, all different ages, are not prepared for this responsibility. And in not being prepared, what is wrong with taking the precautions necessary? And when I say that, men don't leave it to the woman, you know, the young lady to say, oh, I'm on birth control pills. You know, if you want to make sure for yourself and don't use a condom that she gives you, you use yours. And I mean, that's the best besides, you know, not having sex at all. But
right,
just as the woman has to protect herself, the man has to protect himself. There's no such thing as she tricked me, she told me this, but you got to make sure you do it for yourself. Can't nobody trick you into nothing. If that, take responsibility and say, I didn't do what I needed to do to protect myself. I relied on somebody else. You know, and meaning that, you know, and I understand that you trust this person, but when it comes to bringing a human, you know, we're not thinking that far. These young people are not thinking that far. And she probably had the children to keep him. And all it did was ran him further away. So, you know, it wound up to be a really bad situation.
But it goes to show you that there's something we need to be doing to help our children understand what their obligations are. You have to at some point just accept that have been dealt to you and do the right thing. This girl's future is forever destroyed. I mean, if she's in her 20s and they give her 20 plus years, she'll be well on going to her 50s before she's out on parole. And to have to live with the fact that you killed your own child is a heavy burden to play, and you'll never be in the life of the little girl because the little girl will be grown and gone, and I mean, no, there's no telling what she might think or feel about you to the fact that you murdered her brother.
Right, and you know, she said she snapped. Well, honey, you're going to snap into reality sitting in that jail. Because you're going to be reminded over and over again. But I still think, you know, that she needs help. I mean, we are expecting and we assume because someone has a child that they automatically know what to do, and they don't. You know, it becomes a learning experience even for the parents, the mothers who love their children. It's a learning experience, even for the fathers, in how to handle, you know, parenting together or co-parenting apart. So you can clearly see that she didn't have it. And, you know, just like every other situation that comes about, we have to look further into the background, because it'll tell more of the story of what her actions was then. And it can be many different things. But it's sad. I mean, it's sad for a life to be gone because of being jealous. I mean, she didn't have confidence in herself. She didn't think much of herself to allow a man to make her feel, you know, the way that she should be feeling her own self. Because, you know, we say all the time, what are you bringing to the table? I mean, you can't, somebody can't make you feel good all the time if you're not coming, you know, whole yourself. If you're coming into, going into a relationship broken and putting the responsibility off on somebody else to make you feel good all the time, that's not healthy at all. And, you know, we don't understand that, but we come from so many broken homes till, you know, we are expecting them to know better. But if they have not seen anything different, you know, not saying that her mama murdered somebody, and as we get to, you know more into her background, we're going to find a lot of things that the many dysfunctions that was going on in her life that brought her to that point.
Yeah. Kathy, we're talking about a situation where a mother smothered her two-year-old son, and during the process, she was texting her boyfriend to let him know that she was doing these, and she was upsetting him because he was not coming to spend any time with her, or he might have been involved with someone else. We've also learned that the father has been arrested for child neglect because he failed to call or alert the police that his children were in danger. So now you have both of these parents who are going to be going away for some time, away from their little girl. But the fact that a mother would strangle her own child or smother her child just because she felt the father was cheating, you know, and we're just discussing where is the motherly love or the connection between mother and child that would allow this mother to do what she did.
Good afternoon, everybody. I just, you know, that's heart-wrenching. My heart is aching when I hear stuff like that. But I just have to think about it in the sense that it's the enemy. And, you know, he uses whomever he can to do whatever he needs to do to get what it is that he needs to get, which is to steal, kill, and destroy. And that's exactly what he did. He destroyed not only the daughter, but he destroyed the mother and the father. So he's on his job, you know. So we as believers, we have to get on our job, which is, again, it's prayer. And that's really heart hurting when you hear situations like that. But I know thinking about kids when they go into foster homes, you know, most of the times they go through situations like this, and then these kids need love. These kids need someone that's going to care for them and to try to help them forget that pain that was going on in their family when they were small, in order for them to overcome some of those things. Like Cheryl said, some other things are going to come out, why this girl was doing what she did or why she did what she did. So there probably was abuse in her family. We don't know, you know. But, again, it's the enemy, and he's running rapid. I mean, on every corner, he is running rapid, trying to steal, kill, and destroy.
It is so saddening that, you know, there were, you know, there are people who are honestly waiting for these little infants to take them and give them love. And if you weren't in a position to give this child love, you certainly could have found someone who wanted to love that child to the point of raising that child. You know, I've talked a lot with people because I know that I'm not, you know, I've gotten older and I'm not really interested in having children any longer. But if my daughter were to have a child and somehow she was lost to me, I would that would be my responsibility. So, and a lot of grandparents take on the responsibility of their children to raise their grandchildren because they love their grandchildren. And just like you love your children, you know that that grandchild is an extension of you. And so she actually took that child away from a number of different because of her selfishness. And Cheryl, she displayed a type of selfishness that is not normally found in people, because, I mean, that's just, that has to be the ultimate in selfishness when you take or are willing to take the life of your own child.
Oh, most definitely, you know, and at that time, you can tell that there was a disconnection between her and the child. There was no emotional feeling for her to have, you know, done she did. I mean, her, clearly her thoughts was on getting the love she wanted from this guy, whatever it took, and that's what she did, whatever it took to get his attention. But now she can see that although she did this to get his attention, she still won't have him. And that's what they don't understand. They don't understand that these things that is happening is still not going to get the guy. It's still why she needed counseling, and she still do. I mean, not that it's not going to play over and over and over in her mind, you know, and it can be in her 30s, her 40s, 50s, when she even think about, you know, how outrageous this act was, inhumane this act was. And, you know, and tell herself, I can't believe I did this over somebody who didn't even care nothing about me. And I mean, I hope that that reality sets in.
The way she did. I mean, clearly, she can't say it was insanity, because she, you know, every text, there was an opportunity for her to truly think about what she was saying or doing. And then, and even to talk about her daughter and saying, I tried to smother her, but she got some good lungs. It just tells you there was a lot of time involved in her action and between her statements. And so it's just a, you know, you just wonder why we have this lack of empathy for these babies that need us so much. Kathy, I remember when you talked about how, you know, at one point your son thought he might be having a child, and how, you know, that, you know, that was going to be loved, that child was going to be loved whether he was an accident or not, that you would hope that these children that are being born into this world had somebody who cared about them enough to be able to raise them despite their parents not being prepared.
Yeah, it just kind of, I'm just thinking about it as you guys are talking about it, and again, it goes back to something, I just believe something happened in her childhood, in her family, because for her to do that and then to text the guy, so I'm just analyzing, and to text the guy and tell him what she was doing, it's something wrong with her mentally. It's the enemy, yes, but it's something wrong with her mentally, because she felt neglected. She felt alone. I'm just thinking of different things, and then the lawlessness,
right,
the loneliness, and her heart broken or whatever. So she felt that this is the way, okay, I'm going to get back at him this way. But in actuality, she didn't get back at him. She got back at herself, because they say hurting people hurt people. She's hurting, and that's what hurting people do. If you've ever been in a conversation or around people that always are negative and always something that's wrong or bad and cannot find one good thing, those people are hurting. And they're reaching out. They're actually reaching out for help. They need help, you know. So when you're in situations or around people like this, you need to try to figure out how can I help, what can I do or say, you know, to try to help this person out of that tunnel or that hole that they're in, because they're going to explode.
And not knowing, I mean, looked like to me, and I'm glad and I appreciate the police arresting him, because I cannot tell you, gotten but one text with my spouse or someone I cared about threatening my children, because as soon as I got that text, I would be doing something to make sure that my children weren't in trouble. So this man showed a lack of empathy for his children, and probably felt as though if they were gone, he would no longer have to pay child support. But, you know, the thing, to be honest with you, was I related to my own child. I tell people all the time, I'm going to be my daughter's father for the rest of her life, for the rest of my life, and I expect to have some kind of financial responsibility for her, no matter the fact that she's working or not, because when she comes to me for money, I feel that it's important that I have some kind of resources to assist her. So your children are always going to be a source of happiness and a source of need for your own resources. So it doesn't matter if they're infants or they're grown, they're still your responsibility. Cheryl, what is your thoughts about that? They never stop being your children, do they?
Oh, no. And like you said, they always need, no matter how grown they get. You know, and it doesn't even have, you know, not even the finance part of it. I mean, they need the love. They need the affection. They need to know that you're there for them. And, I mean, like I said, you know, in this case, there's clearly a problem. And I know there's going to be a lot of people judging her, but they really don't know what was going on in her mind and what she was in need of. You know, but clear as far as once they dig into her background. And just like you said, you know, the enemy is there, and he's just doing his job. That's his job, to kill, steal, and destroy. And if we don't have a strong foundation, you know, we can fall from all the time. So, I mean, she just clearly fell into his arms. But, you know, the sad part about it all is this child losing his life. And then the sister being left here with knowing with her mother and father done, and knowing that her brother is no longer, you know, here. It is just sad all the way around.
Yeah. Let's take a break, and we'll come back and continue our conversation.
Down the whole ground.
This is James T. Deshay, the host of Thoughts, Love, and Reflection, brought to you by Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network. You know, as we see these things happening, we ask ourselves, how do we save this generation from themselves? How do we save them from the violence and the godforsaken drug usage that they're involved in? And somehow their inability to see the value of what life truly is. We have to recognize there is a disconnect this generation has with not understanding their place and our need to have them do better. We need their children, and we need their children to be ready and prepared to be educated and to be a positive force in this world. But we don't need a tenuous source of illegitimate children or ill-willed children to be displaying heartlessness against our community. These children, when they're unloved, are being not only being victimized, but are victimizing the innocent children and adults around them. And so, Kathy, while you're out there trying to show love to the kids by giving them shoes and helping them and creating a loving environment for them, they may very well be victims of their parents. Oh, it looks like Kathy dropped off. Cheryl, what do you think about that? You know, these children, as we're trying to love them and see them in Sunday school or see them in school, they may very well be victims of their parents' abusive behaviors.
You know, you're so right. And that's why, you know, I was saying that, you know, they know what they've been taught and what they've seen. And, you know, clearly she was crying out for love. And that's why I said, I really hope that we can find out a little bit more as the story unfolds more. I hope that they come public with it so people can really see what actually was going on with her. You know, we don't know what kind of household she was living in. Just like it was mentioned, you know, that it could have been in foster care. Just a number of things that we don't know what was going on in her living situation before she, you know, became pregnant and had her first child. So, and she probably is a product family life was like.
Yeah, it's just disheartening to see that people treat their children this way. And that's one of the reasons why, you know, when you're looking at abortion and you're saying, okay, we're not in favor of abortion, but at the same time, if you're not going to be in favor of abortion, you have to be some way seeking to try to help these children who are being born to parents that might be hurting them. Kathy, you know, we can't just allow parents to have these kids and to be victimizing these kids in a way that may hurt them for the long run and hurt our society.
You're absolutely right. That's why they have the slogan out, if you see something, say something. And you're right about the question you had asked. I'm sorry, I was trying to push unmuted and I clicked it off. Sometimes the kids that we interact or come in contact with, you can kind of tell their sadness in their life. So, you know, it's just a great opportunity and a blessing for us to be able to be a blessing to them, to try to talk to them, you know, for that few minutes that we have them in front of us and let them know that it's going to be all right and ask them if there's anything we can pray for them about, you know, to try to let them know that, you know, there is help. So throughout that conversation, hoping and praying that if there is something going on, that they will reach out to somebody else to try to get help.
Yeah, because we hear so many disheartening stories about parents starving their children and not making them go to school so they can be educated. And, you know, you know that when a child is brought up in an environment where they're not shown how important school is, that you're talking about in 12 years, that child is not going to be functional. And I was talking today to somebody, and you know, when you got loving parents, or you got parents who are people who really want to care for their children, you know they have to limit how many children they have. But when you have someone who is uneducated and who is doesn't care about their children, they're going to have a bunch of children. So a lot of times you have situations where a man will have one man who cares about his kids is not going to produce but one or two kids, but then a man who doesn't care or doesn't appreciate what his role is as fatherhood, he'll have 10 or more. When I was at the jail, they had this stupid rule going around, man, if you have 13 kids, the judge won't make you pay child support. So, you know, it's like ignorance is bliss. Somehow or another, somebody don't told somebody and it don't pass around that if you have 13 kids, they'll take you off child support. So, you know, you just have these uneducated people, Cheryl, who are having these children and who are not looking out for the welfare of these children, and they're having more children than the people who want to be responsible.
Yeah, because, you know, a lot of times, I mean, they're not even thinking as far as control, not doing anything. And a lot of times they start off with wanting a child so that the child can love them, you know, for selfish reasons. But I don't know, it's just, you know, when you think about it, you know, just even imagine after she did what she did, having this child there dead. I couldn't even, it's just a sad situation. I don't think that I read anywhere about who, you know, with the parents, or I think there was that the little girl was now with a family member, but they didn't talk
right.
Anymore about, you know, who the family was or what kind of home she, you know, was in or anything. But it's not easy raising these children, and they don't think about that. And they're having these children, you know, without the thought of the children. They're thinking more of themselves. So we got to, and you know what, even when somebody see the children, I mean, the pictures that we saw, it seemed though she interacts and plays with them. They, you know, they were dressed nice. So if you're on the outside looking in, you really can't tell, you know, that something like this could occur just seeing her. You would think, oh, you know, she really care about her kids, because when we on the outside look, we think caring is doing things with your children, you know, keeping them, you know, dressed nice, those kind of things, not what the child is actually getting, you know, from home. Are they being nurtured? You know, what are developing, they're being developed at home? You know, we can't see those things. So some people could be even, you know, shocked, because like, oh, she always had her kids. They were dressed nice all the time. And merely, you know, she just was crying out for help. She was crying for love. And people do that in different ways when they're looking for love.
Yeah, and the sad thing is that, you know, there was nobody around to intervene for this little boy who could have been there to kind of intervene for him in a way to give him an opportunity to have a life. You know, so often we don't realize that these kids could possibly be Nobel Peace Prize winners. We didn't know when Martin Luther King was two or three who he was going to become. You know, and you don't know who these kids are. So, you know, when we're losing these children, we don't know whether or not they were going to be the kings and the queens of our future. And so every loss of a child like this is hard to recover from, because you don't know what it was in their spirit that was going to be birthed out of them when they became adults. Right, Cassie?
You're absolutely right. We don't know, you know, and it's an unfortunate thing, but God knows. He sees all, he knows all, and he is all. So, and as soon as that happened, you know, he received the spirit of that child with him. So, you know, it's just, it's a sad thing that we can't really see or know what's going to happen before it happens to try to stop, you know, some of these things from happening. But as an individual in the places where we are, all we can do is be the best person that we can be and reach out to as many people as we can reach out, because there are a lot of people hurting, you know. So that's why we have to step up, and we have been given the charge to be a help to somebody else. So that's what we have to do.
And we have to make sure that we're not being part of the problem. I know that I need to be more open to people who have children and being able to intercede for those kids by doing, just being able to maybe buy a pair of shoes or help a mother who's not able to buy a book bag like you all are doing, because they need somebody, because, you know, a $10, a $20, or a $30 book bag is not going to change my lifestyle, or buying a pair of shoes is not going to change my lifestyle, but it might do very well do a lot of good in the heart of a mother who believes she's out there by herself and there's nobody looking to assist her. So, Cheryl, we always need to be on our best behavior when it comes to possibly intervening on the behalf of children and single parents.
You know, and you're so right, because just like you said, we don't know what the parent is going through, because I know, you know, this school year I took this little girl's supply list. I just asked her, I'm going to send me her supply list. And although she's 40 minutes away, I went and got her everything that she needed off of the supply list, because you can tell the frustration that the mother had, because she couldn't provide the child with those things to go back to school with. It was so cruel. They will bully you, you know, based upon the way you dress, what you have, you know, all of those things. So that I can see, you know, and that, and plus talking to her helped her to calm down to where she didn't get totally frustrated with the situation, and a little help helps them. You know, we don't think so, but I mean, we spend that money on, you know, foolishness anyway. I mean, whatever it may be. I don't do the fast food, so I mean, I can't say that, but I could say maybe just going to Kato's and buying a couple of pair of earrings. You know, not doing that instead of helping somebody. I mean, what's the big deal? Because not only it helps the child, but it helps the parent, because sometimes the parent can be so frustrated, and when they can snap at the child and cause them to really hurt the child, but not meaning to, but just feeling inadequate that they can't do what they would really love to do for the child. And it doesn't mean that they don't love them. They do. They just don't know where and how and, you know, to get the next thing for them from. So, yeah, we have to come together. We can do that. You know, if everybody helped one person, then it would be so much better. I know a lady out here, she got on Facebook, and she just started listing children's names, their age, and what toys they like and what sizes they wear. And she asked people to pick a child, and she had children from A through Z. And, I mean, the people were overwhelmingly, you know, picking a child and buying them the things for Christmas. And it even went through the alphabets till she had to start on numbers. So, yeah, we can do it. We can be, you know, we can take action and participate in those things. And if it's not going on, we can make those things happen on our own. So it is important. It
and
is
we
important,
have to
you
develop,
know, like you said, to help.
Right. And we have to learn to develop young boys so they understand the importance of them needing to be good fathers. You know, and again, I go back to if parents are not going to instill in their sons the kind of dedication and leadership they need to know that they ought to take care of their offspring, then we need to have schools or somebody, churches, intervene and let boys know that they got to stop walking away from these children, Kathy. They can't just allow their offspring and their birthright to just wither on the vine without their assistance.
Yeah, but you know, we can only tell somebody or ask somebody or share with somebody the need is, you know, but it's up to the people, like Cheryl was saying, how the people just came in droves and in numbers. That's a blessing, and that's how it should be. You know, people, if you have it, you should be able to help. If you don't have it, then people understand that not everybody, you know, is able to help. But those that can help, they should help, because it does take a lot of stress off of the parents, you know. And everything that Cheryl just said is what my letter says when I send it out to the different organizations to try to get them to assist us with the donations about the bullying, about what the kids wear in school. I mean, we see it all the time when we go into school, the kids, how they're dressed, their shoes, you know, and it's terrible. And then for somebody to come on the side, another child to come on the side and just begin to talk about that particular child because they don't have it, it's not right. So we have to come together and make a difference so that it won't continue to happen. We have to be the game changers, as they say.
Yeah, you know, you have to be the one in the gap for those who don't have as much as they need to have. And who, you know, and so that's what I feel sometimes, you know, it's like if I meet somebody and befriend somebody who has a child that needs, I have to be willing to stand in the gap for that child and father who's not doing what he's supposed to. And I don't know what man in his right mind, you know, I know when my daughter calls me, I just feel an obligation to be able to intervene on her behalf, and she's in her 40s, but it doesn't matter how old she is. When she calls on me, she don't want to hear no excuses, and I feel good about being in a position to help her. So it's sad that other fathers out there can just walk away from their children and just give away their obligation to make life better for those kids, Cheryl. I don't know how they live with themselves.
Well, let me tell you, I don't know either, because my baby, his father is not in his life at all. And I don't understand it. I mean, he has two older kids that he passed right by this one house and go straight to his other son's house that are adults. I mean, he's, you know, mine is the baby. And I don't understand it. I don't understand, you know, what is it to call him for his birthday? Or what is it, you know, when he said, my son called him and asked him, you know, can he come spend the day with him? And he told him, he said, well, I got family coming. You can come out here by me. Well, what am I? But, and then, you know, we have to take and pull the slack in those areas. So when you say what goes on through their mind, I don't have the slightest idea, because I am just as nice as could be. When I say that, I mean, you know, I keep him posted to every single thing that goes on with him. I always say good morning, good afternoon, good evening, and thank you, God bless you, have a blessed day at the end, you know. And this was somebody I was married to. So to walk away, you know, it's okay to walk away from me, but how do you walk away from your child? And then you pick and choose which children you walk away from. I was never angry when he left. I mean, you know, he had a drug problem and he needed help. And I mean, I couldn't help him. So, I, you know, the best thing that I could do was to let him go to get the help that he needed. But, I mean, how do you let the child suffer? You know, they can't go to him and ask him things, you know, the things that men talk to their sons about. I mean, I've had to have mentors in his life and his older brother to be there for him, which is not fair. And I have to constantly talk to him because I don't want him to be bitter or to find, you know, to say, what's wrong with me? Why was I not good enough? You know, or what did I ever do? You know, so, I mean, I could not even begin to imagine what do they think about. Not at all.
Yeah, and I know that I was Johnny on the spot when my daughter was born, and I brought her home from the hospital to my father's house. And I have been, you know, whenever she needed me, I intervened. And a lot of times, you know, you don't get the credit you think you deserve, but what you know, you feel so much better in your heart. I know I have, that I have done the and played the role that I needed to play to try to make a difference in her lives. And to have these kids out there wandering around without the support of their fathers, it's just a terrible thing. And certainly when you recognize or you see that your child is not being cared for properly, you need to be in a position to give the kind of care that your child needs. And so there are times when a father needs to step up and say, hey, look, let me take over the parental responsibilities for my kids because I might be able to do it better. And so men ought to not just relinquish their roles as a father. Sometimes they need to take on the role as a father and a mother if the mother is inadequate. Your thoughts about that, Kathy?
Hey, I agree with you guys, and I'm a witness also, Shura, of that exact same thing. My son's father used to do the exact same thing, and I would always wonder why, you know, why. And I was married to him, too. I was like, Lord, why, you know, why is he doing this? You know, we have this child together. I have to do this. And my son is wondering why is he not able to see his dad or be with his dad. But, you know, I prayed through that, and now my son is 22 years old, and he, in those last years, he saw himself that it wasn't me, but it was his dad. And it was his dad, and his dad was broken. You know, again, he was hurting because he had been hurt. So the only thing that he could do was to try to hurt me, but he didn't hurt me. He hurt his son because, you know, those years he can never get back with his son. So now he tries to, you know, make up for it, but it's not the same because of those years that he left. But I also, you know, went and got a big brother to spend, you know, time with him and on outings and stuff. And I believe that it helped a little bit, but I always told him, you know, just pray for your dad. That's what I always told him, pray for your dad. And then now today, sometimes he comes back and he say, Mom, you know, I don't know, but I hope that I don't be like that when I receive or have children. I say, you won't, because you're going to pray. You know, you're not going to allow what happened in the past to come into your future. And I believe there are a lot of mothers out there that are experiencing that same thing. But, you know, you just have to double up your boots and walk on with your child and just continue to speak life into your child and not death, not telling them, you know, because I hear a lot of people talk about their kid's father in front of the kids. That's not a good thing. But take your child and you try to do the best you can. Put them in a after-school program or somewhere or something where they can actually have somebody to help them as they grow through those teen years. And they'll see eventually – they'll see that it had nothing to do with Mom, but it was Dad, and vice versa. I have some guy friends that had to raise their children without the mother. So, you know, you just don't know what goes on in these people's brains, what makes them do what they do or think what they think, but you just have to be the best you can, especially when you have those children.
Yeah, it is such a need, because children do need both of their parents for different things and different reasons. And I just thank God. I have to tell you and go on record, you know, father left and he asked me, you know, do you want to come with me? And I was smart enough to tell him no. You know, I wanted to stay with my mother. And I was my mother's only child. And, you know, sometimes I think it's devastating that men should really support their sons and daughters with their mother, and not allow them, you know, I wouldn't just arbitrarily take children from their mother if their mother is just trying. But you should support that mother so that mother knows that you're there not to take advantage of her because she may not be financially able, but you're willing to be there for support. And allow her to know that you'll be a helping hand. I was lucky enough to have a dad who was always there for me, even though he was not married to my mother, and I just appreciate him for that. And I wanted to be the same kind of father to my daughter. You know, but a lot of times I have to tell you, I've had conversations with my daughter, and she told me that I don't get no kudos because I just did what I was supposed to do. And so sometimes I thought I should get some extra, you know, extra points. But she would quickly tell me I don't get any extra points for doing what I was supposed to do. And so I always find that kind of interesting, Cheryl.
Yeah, that is. She just don't know how privileged it is to have a father that not only loves their child, but participates in their child love life and is interested in their child's life, because it is not that often. I mean, it's not that often, you know, and I can so relate, you know, with Kathy, because, you know, I don't want my son to feel, you know, like it's him, and hear me too. I don't talk anything negative about him because he really don't know his past, because his daddy has really gotten together and have a very good job. I mean, doing very good well as far as rental properties and, you know, in his whole life, he's doing really well. So he don't know his background of the things that, you know, took place before then. And I don't, you know, I don't bring that to him because those things I want him to find out for himself, you know, and to find out who he really is, not from my point of view, but from his own point of view of what he sees as far as with his daddy. But, you know, it's sad, and especially because they can afford to do what needs to be done. You know, even when, because there's been many hard times, you know, as y'all know that, I mean, for many years, I was not able to work because of my health situation. And I mean, I just couldn't get him to be there. I just couldn't get him to be there. So, but it's like, you know, what do you do? And that's where you find mentors. When we was in Tennessee, he had a big brother that came, got him on the weekends and spent time with him and, you know, did things. And, you know, and those things are good, but it doesn't take the place of your father. It just doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
Because it still goes on in the back of his mind. You know, what is wrong with me when you are there for your other children, but you're not there for me?
All right, we're going to take our final break and come back and have our final word for this evening. And, you know, we're just talking about the value we need to place on our children and the fact that these children are our futures. And it's just sad that so many children find themselves being neglected or hurt by people that are supposed to love them. We'll be right back to end the show.
I need to love me.
Just a Thought by James T. Deshaies. There are times when happenstance creates life-changing opportunities. It is important to keep your eyes and ears open to those moments so you can grasp the golden ring as it passes by. Don't allow your past to create doubt of the possibility of a new roadway to success. The magic in life keeps the universe open to changes in direction in everyone's life. No one has a market on what is required to make life worth living. We all have to obtain a focus and work toward the dream. Each day gives us a 24-hour reset. Evaluate the day before and determine if the same steps should be repeated. Just fully understand that our Creator does not have favorites. The universe is prepared to favor the efforts we all make daily. My steps can't be rewarded any more than anyone else's. Just believe that you deserve to have your dreams come true. This is James T. Deshaies, the host of Thoughts, Love, and Reflection, brought to you 7 days a week, Monday through Friday at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 3 o'clock West Coast Time, Saturday and Sunday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, 5 o'clock West Coast Time. Please call in to 657-383-0309 so your voice can be heard loud and clear. Please visit my website, www.JamesTDeshaies2.com. That is www.JamesTDeshaies2.com. Also consider purchasing my books, Thoughts, Love, and Reflection, Passion, Desire, and Contemplation, at the website lulu.com. That's www.lulu.com. I look forward to you being a part of my audience. Again, call in every day at 657-383-0309 so your voice can be heard loud and clear and unfiltered.
Kathy, as we look toward the future and look toward the opportunity to do the best that we can by the children are born in this world, what are your final thoughts about our commitment and loyalty should be to our children?
I was just thinking about that, and I thought about the song that Michael Jackson had and says, "We are the world, we are the future." You are the world, you are the future, and it has something to do with the children. So as an adult, we have an obligation to the children to teach them, to show them how it is that they are supposed to grow as they grow up and mature. So each person needs to not think of themselves so much, but to think of others, because it's not about us. It is about our future, because we've had our chance and we were able to make it through. So now we have to input and show these children that they are loved and that they can be great and they can do anything that they put their minds to, and just love on them. And that's what I have to say.
All right. Cheryl, what are your final thoughts for this evening?
I'm in agreement with Kathy as well. You know, we have to love them. We have to nurture them. We have to give them guidance because they're innocent and they have no direction when they come here. And that's our responsibility. And they are our future. These are the ones that's going to take over the things that is going on right now. And if we expect things to be better, we have to help them to be better, the best that they possibly could be.
You are so right. As we end today's show, it's just important that we realize that whoever is out there, and like Kathy said, if you see something, say something. We cannot allow our children to be at the mercy of evil. We have to allow these children the opportunity to show their wealth that's inside of them. And we have to protect them, even if we have to protect them from their own families. Take care, everybody. We'll see you tomorrow at 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Thoughts, Love, and Reflection as we allow your voice to be heard loud and clear.
Nothing can be.